лет ученик.
He's 40 years old.
И он по своему желанию просто
служит.
Он ездит по всему миру и делится чем-то из Библии. Он служит в церкви в Сан-Диего, да? Сан-Диего как учитель. И он приехал сюда к нам из Улан-Батора.
He's been in Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia.
В Монголии всего 10 учеников, но все равно поехал куда-то поддержать церковь. Они его поселили где-то там, ну, в Улаанбаатаре нет горячей воды, он рассказал мне, как он
изгонщика
лонца. Он приехал, говорит, мне нужен душ, я 4 дня уже не это сам. Я решил, думаю, ну раз он приехал, надо его, там у меня черешня была, я говорю, ну давай кумыс еще попробуем.
Cherries, and then he tried horse milk.
Его чуть-чуть коротнуло, короткое замыкание было, но он сказал, на самом деле классно, но больше не буду. Но он, я горжусь этим братом. Он только в московской церкви был три раза. Приезжает и делится, и он, понимаете, просто страсть о Библии. Понимаете, то есть, вот люди путешествуют, как правило, ради впечатлений, удовольствия, наслаждения, показать свой статус. Этот человек тратит свои деньги, чтобы распространять понимание, знания о Боге. Вот, и у нас, я надеюсь, что его, то, о чем он будет говорить, это будет ответ на наши вопросы. Но кроме того, у нас будет одно еще вопрос. Вот, и это классно, потому что последний раз учитель выступал в Азии, это было 20 лет назад. Вот, и Энди делал урок в Святом Духе. И он прошел 20 лет, и у нас есть снова учитель с нами, его зовут Джон Оукс. Он очень классный, я хотел пару слов сказать благодарность Тэмми за ее желание, готовность перевести, переводить, потому что переводить учителя – это всегда ответственно. Потому что это глубоко, это очень проникновенно. Вот, очень много деталей специфических. И я надеюсь, что это будет полезно. Смотрите, друзья, у нас его урок будет состоять из трех частей, и каждые 20 минут у нас будет большой перерывчик, где у нас будет такой, я буду спрашивать, что вы услышали? Понимаете, да, какой-то небольшой отклик. Вот, просто чтобы быть уверенным, что у нас есть какое-то живое общение, и информация, она доходит туда. Вот, поэтому, если у вас есть комментарии или хорошие мысли на полях, делайте заметочки, будет очень круто. Итак, Джон Оукс, брат, вперед, Джон Оукс, Тэмми.
Oh, over here? Okay, sure. Great. The first thing, I need to take a picture. Okay. Thank you. Well, it's a great honor for me to be here. I've wanted for many, many years to come to Central Asia. I asked many times. And finally they said yes. You know, in America, I think it's maybe a little bit easier to be a Christian sometimes. And I just appreciate your conviction. You know, I told my friends in San Diego, I'm coming to Kyrgyzstan. They said, where's Kyrgyzstan? I said, it's near Tajikistan. Alright, well, where's Tajikistan? It's kind of near Uzbekistan. Oh, where's Uzbekistan? It's near Kazakhstan. Well, where's Kazakhstan? Near Russia. Russia. Oh.
Iran.
So I was asked today to speak on the book of Galatians. And I, can we forward the slide? I'm really happy to teach on Galatians. I believe it's Sasha's favorite book. that's why he asked me to speak on it, I think. Maybe a little selfish. Just kidding. So we'll start with some fun facts about Galatians. Paul wrote books to different churches, right? Corinth, Rome. But actually, Galatia wasn't even a church. In fact, there wasn't a city called Galatia. It's a region in Turkey. The capital was Ankara. We call it Ankara, capital of Turkey today, yes? Now, the Galatian people, many of them moved to France. And the French are Galatians. And many of them went to northern Spain. And one of the provinces of Spain is Galicia. And my wife's family comes from Galicia in Spain. So my wife is a Galatian. So this book is written to my wife specifically. Okay. Now the background of Galatians is the church is undergoing a crisis. It could be a fatal crisis. Because Jewish Christians have been coming around. And telling people they need to follow the laws in the Old Testament. And they're trying to make them to observe Jewish customs. Especially circumcision. But in Galatians chapter 4, verse 10 and 11, they're trying to get them to observe certain days, certain fasts and certain seasons. And now, it's not so bad that somebody would be circumcised. But what they were teaching is that our salvation depends on doing these things. And apparently these teachers have been following all the churches where Paul had planted. And trying to turn the Christians against the grace-centered Christianity that Paul taught. And turning them towards law-centered Christianity. The theme of Galatians is this. Living by the law versus living by the Holy Spirit. So let's read Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 through 9. Who's going to be reading the Russian scriptures? Okay. No, you need a Bible. That's not a Bible. You need a Bible. That's not a Bible. Ah, okay.
Вы ради какой-то иной радостной вести так быстро оставили Бога, который призвал вас благодатью Христа. Следующий слайд. Но иной радостной вести не существует, а просто есть люди, которые смущают вас, желая исказить радостную весть о Христе. Но если бы даже мы или ангел с неба стали возвещать вам не ту радостную вещь, что мы возвещали вам сначала, то пусть такие вестники будут навеки прокляты. И еще раз повторяю, мы уже говорили об этом, и вы знаете, что если кто-либо будет возвещать вам что-то противное той радостной вести, которую вы приняли, то пусть они будут навеки прокляты, ничего себе.
Wow. Paul is very upset. He's saying, if you accept this gospel, you're going to go to hell. Hell, Paul is really angry. You know, a good thing to think about, just a thought. What makes you angry? You know, Jesus got angry. There are a few things that made Jesus angry. The Pharisees, when they taught salvation based on rules, that got Jesus very angry. You know what else got Jesus really angry? When people would not forgive. You know, the parable of the unforgiving servant. What got Paul angry? People would replace grace with the law. Now, think about it. What would make us fall away? Paul has an interesting definition of falling away. It's Galatians 5, verse 2 through 4.
И еще раз повторяю.
It's not on the slide.
Слушайте, я Павел говорю вам, если вы возвратитесь в лоно закона через обрезание, то не будет вам никакой пользы от Христа. Так оставайтесь же тверды и не взваливайте на себя вновь бремя рабства. Еще раз говорю всем тем, кто позволяет себе быть обрезанным, что они обязаны соблюдать вне закон. И те из вас, кто пытается объявить себя праведниками через соблюдение закона, не имеют больше ничего общего с Христом. Теперь вы вне благодати Божьей.
Now these people who fell away, they were going to church on a regular basis, and yet they fell away. That's surprising. Why had they fallen away? Because they were seeking to be saved by their own works. Instead of by the grace of God. Trying to be saved by being a good person is like running on a running machine, a treadmill. You know, I run a lot. But I do not like running on a running machine. You're working so hard. And you're getting nowhere. Are you tempted to rely on your relationship with God? Because of the good things that you do. Are you more concerned what other people think about you? Than what God thinks about you. That's not the kind of Christianity that God wants us to have. Let's go to Galatians chapter 2. We're going to read verse 19 through 21. It says 20 through 21. I want to read 19 through 21.
Ибо с помощью закона я умер для закона, чтобы жить для Бога. Я распят вместе с Христом. Так что сам я больше не живу, но Христос живет во мне. жизнью, что я живу сейчас во плоти, я обязан вере в Сына Божьего, который возлюбил меня и предложил себя в жертву вместо меня. Я не отрекаюсь от дара Божьего, ибо если благочестие достигается через закон, то Христос умер напрасно.
Paul starts by saying something very strange here. He says, through the law, I died to the law. What does that mean? Here's what I think it means. He tried to be saved by observing the law.
And
it was a disaster. It was slavery. So then he put the law aside. He replaced it with grace. He died to the law. You know, in Colossians 2, Paul gives us his spiritual resume. He said, I was the Jew of all Jews. I was of the tribe of Benjamin. Student of Gamaliel. The most Pharisees of all the Pharisees. As far as righteousness, I was almost perfect. But he says, now I think of that as garbage. Worthless. Actually said, less than worthless. All our righteous acts, it adds up to zero. Actually, less than zero. Isaiah said it's like filthy rags. But what does Paul say we live by? He says, that awesome, amazing Paul. That Paul has died. And now Christ lives. I think of Paul like this. I compare him to Solomon. Solomon did the experiment. If worldly accomplishments could make you happy, then Solomon would have been happy. But he said, it's worthless. So he could save you the trouble. He did the experiment. Paul's like that. But he sought to be awesome through being religious. To find joy through doing a lot of good things. Same result. It was a body of death. See, Paul used to live by being good. What's he living by now, according to this passage? What's it say? Faith. Living by faith. Are you living by how awesome you are? What's the problem with that? Honestly, you're not that awesome. Because you're a sinner. But Paul says, I live by faith. He says, I accept the grace of God. And I tried it. Righteousness could not be gained by the law. So let's summarize the first two chapters of Galatians. We're going through this book kind of fast, you know. Right here in verse 21. He says, we do not set aside the grace of God. Because if we could be righteous by our own works, then Christ did not need to die. Now, Paul's about to tell us that if we live according to religion, we'll be under a curse. But we're supposed to stop after 20 minutes. I think I've been talking for 20 minutes. Let me check my watch. 21 minutes. Okay.
Did we hear what was important to you? For me, it was important to hear. I'm saved by faith, and not because I deserve something from God. He has grace. He loves me. I'm forgiven. I'm thankful not because of my spiritual deeds. And later we'll take questions.
Илья.
Thank you. I understood. Павел was trying to please God. Павел kept pointing people to faith and not to deeds. Other people were focused on actions. He was focused on faith. What did you hear? I want to hear from another couple of people.
Что можно, будучи знать Христа,
knowing Jesus,
от милости в сторону закона.
Они конкурируют в нашем сердце.
So there's a fight between law and grace.
Но тем не менее, есть опасность, что
there's a danger. There's a danger that we can fall into law and fall away from grace.
For me, что Павел не просто переживал об этом.
Paul wasn't just worried about it a little. But he had so much feeling about it.
So he said,
even if an angel from heaven should come, it's like we understand how Islam came about. That an angel from heaven came. And yeah, there's that new gospel right there. And he used exactly those words. You know, there will be cursed. To protect and keep the integrity of the gospel, the true gospel in our hearts. It's a huge, hugely important thing. Thank you. On the other side, I have this feeling that I don't need to do anything. I don't need to do anything.
We'll talk about that later.
Мы будем поговорить об этом потом.
Отлично. Друзья, вы ловите идею, понятный язык.
Can you, are you understanding okay? Are you getting everything?
Okay, продолжаем.
Okay, we'll continue. Do you need a break? Yeah. No? Okay, good.
2 minute break.
2 minute break.
2 minute break.
2 minute break.
Great. 2 minutes. Друзья, но это только 2 минуты, не азиатские 2 минуты.
Yeah, I mean, he's right, but we have to,
yes.
We're going to replace that motivation with a different motivation.
Right,
yes, absolutely.
I like this idea, what Paul was angry about.
Yes.
It was the way like Muslim teaching come to people.
Yeah.
They believe what Jibreel come to Muhammad.
Right.
And bring him another gospel.
Right.
And they call it another gospel.
Yeah, they do.
Best one.
And so do so do these people.
Uh-huh. Mormon. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. They find it in some cave. Yeah. In some cave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The muscles, like word for word, it's like what's written in Galatians. They put it in Islam.
Yeah. And
Good, thank you.
The tape's going to include
that's okay. But they can edit it.
Hello.
Hi, Olga.
Hi, Olga.
I was born. Hello.
Hi, good. Okay. Hi, good. I was born in Tashkent.
Oh, yeah.
But now I'm in Moscow.
Oh, great.
Where?
In Moscow. Can you comment more on this installation? First part.
Yes.
Because I understood something, but maybe not completely.
All right. I'll mention it again. Okay. Yeah.
John Oaks?
Oaks, yes. Hello.
Hey, John, how much are the books?
Summer 12, summer 15.
Dollars, right? You're
yeah.
asking dollars?
Whatever it would be,
Okay.
If you're rounding, round down.
John, if you had to choose one book from this table, what would you recommend?
This one?
Yeah.
It's her favorite book. Okay, that's 2 minutes.
Why do you think electronic version is not acceptable version of Bible?
Hmm?
Or it was a joke?
I was a joke.
Ah, okay.
Totally a joke.
Yeah, better to ask
yeah. Sorry if I...
No, that's okay.
All right.
Дорогие друзья, пожалуйста, присаживайтесь. Наши 2 минуты, которые уже 7 прошли.
Окей. Okay, there were 2 questions during the break. One question was, what do you mean that an electronic Bible is not acceptable? That was just a joke, okay. The other question was about Galatians 5:19. Wanted me to explain a little bit more thoroughly what Paul means. Through the law, I died to the law. Well, actually, he's going to explain that more thoroughly when we get to Galatians chapter 3. Or you could read Romans chapter 7. Where Paul tries to describe what it's like living by law. It's very frustrating. And like I said, Paul did the experiment. If Paul couldn't be saved by law, no one in this room is anywhere near as zealous and righteous as Paul was. But what he discovered is living by law is death. So he died to that. In other words, he completely abandoned it and put it behind. So that's what he means. I tried it out. It was a total disaster. And I put it away. I think that's what he means. Now, again, we're skipping. So now we're in Galatians chapter 3. Now understand, we're looking at the bad news in the first three chapters. And then we'll look at the good news in the last three chapters. So if it seems a little bit negative right now, it's because Paul is being a little bit negative right now. So don't blame me, blame Paul. All right, so Galatians 3, verse 10 through 14.
Все утверждающиеся на делах закона находятся под клятвой. Ибо написано: проклят всяк, кто не исполняет постоянно всего, что написано в книге закона. А что законом никто не оправдывается перед Богом, это ясно, потому что праведной верой жив будет. А закон не поверен, и кто исполняет его, тот жив будет им. Христос искупил нас от клятвы закона, сделавшись за нас клятвою. Ибо написано: проклят всякий, висящий на дереве. Дабы благословение Авраамова через Христа распространилось на язычников, чтобы нам получить обещанного духа веры.
Now Paul's opponents are trying to get people to go back to the Old Testament.
Противники Павла хотели, чтобы он повернулся и жил по Ветхому Завету.
And Paul was a very smart person.
Павел был очень умным человеком.
He says, I'm going to quote from the Old Testament.
Он сказал, хорошо, у меня есть цитат из Ветхого Завета.
In fact, he quotes from the book of Deuteronomy. It says, whoever does not keep this whole law is cursed. So, how many in here have kept the whole law? Raise your hand if you've lived a godly life. That's what I thought. Alright, so therefore, you and I are cursed. After Romans chapter 7, Paul says, thanks be to God. Because we have Christ. So, why are those who rely on being religious cursed? I don't know about you, but I don't want to be cursed. Why are those who try to gain righteousness by being a good person under a curse? That seems like it almost seems like an exaggeration. Well, then he quotes Leviticus 18, verse 5. Because it says, the person who does these things will live by them. That's that treadmill. But what does Paul say? This is great news. The righteous will live by faith. Actually, that's not exactly what he says. In the Greek, it's more like this. Those who, because of faith, are righteous, those are the people who will live. So what do you prefer? Faith or personal righteousness? Oh, faith is much better. It says in verse 13, Christ redeemed us from that. He saved us from that. But the Galatians are trying to go back to that.
That's a constant temptation in Christianity. To go back to works-based Christianity. Now I looked up the word redeemed. I looked it up on Wikipedia, which is the, you know, yeah, the authority on everything. It says to pay back for one's faults. Or to gain something by a payment. We gain righteousness by a payment. But Jesus says, I want to pay for that. Why? Because we couldn't. It reminds me of Hosea. I love the book of Hosea. In Hosea chapter 3, starting in verse 1, Hosea's wife, she became a prostitute. And that's us. We are Hosea's wife. And what does Hosea do? He goes to her pimp. Do they have a word for that? And he asks, how much does it cost to have sex with my wife? And he paid the price. That's what God did for us. He paid the price. He redeemed us. In the story of Hosea and Gomer, we are Gomer, and God is Hosea. We got freed. And so our pimp doesn't own us anymore. Again, that pimp was the law. I hope I'm not asking you to use an impolite word there. I don't know. Okay. Now let's go to Galatians 3, 26 through 29. Now we're moving towards the encouraging stuff. Verses 26 through 29.
Ибо все вы сыны Божьи по вере в Иисуса Христа.
No.
Все вы во Христа крестившиеся, во Христа облеклись. Нет уже иудея, ни язычника. Нет раба, ни свободного, нет мужеского пола, ни женского, ибо все вы одно во Христе. Если же вы Христовы, то вы семя Авраамова, по обетованию наследники.
I've got a question. What's the most common word or words used to label somebody who's a saved person?
Что является самым обычным словом, если ты хочешь говорить о ком-то, который является спасенным человеком?
We all know it's not Christian, right? You all know that. What's the most common word for a saved person? In the Bible.
Faithful, believer, freed, redeemed, blessed, sinful.
Nope.
Sinner?
It's
child?
Nope. In Christ. Over 100 over 160 times. It talks about those who are in Christ. I plan on writing a book. The title is going to be In Christ. I wish I had time to talk about all the things that we have in Christ. We have righteousness in Christ. We have love in Christ. We have forgiveness in Christ. I suggest you do a study on that topic. But according to this passage, if you're in Christ, you're the child of God. You're accepted. So what do you have to do in order to stay in Christ? How often do you have to share your faith to stay in Christ? How often do you have to pray to stay in Christ? Not at all. You're in Christ. Now, we were not in Christ. There was a time in our life when we were not in Christ. We were outside of Christ, right? How did you get into Christ? The Bible gives only one formula for getting into Christ. It's right here. We were baptized into Christ. That's when you enter that house. And when you were baptized, you became part of God's family. And you're accepted the way you are. That's the way it works in a family. And it's through faith. And if we have faith, then, and we've been baptized, we're in Christ. Now, I was asked, well, then what's the motivation for doing good things? If we don't have to, then maybe we'll do nothing at all. No, it's exactly the opposite. That is so wrong. And honestly, that was a weakness of our fellowship from the past, honestly. I don't want to exaggerate, but we put people on a works treadmill. I remember one time I was teaching the singles in San Diego. The most basic possible lesson ever on the grace of God. And I said, you know what? If you're saved, you're saved.
Yes.
And there were people who were like, really? You mean I don't go in and out of being saved? I was shocked. Maybe I shouldn't have. Galatians tells us that's the way we tend to go. All right, let's read Galatians 4, 21 through 31. This is Paul's illustration of what we're talking about.
Скажите мне вы, желающие быть под законом, разве вы не слушаете закона? Ибо написано, Авраам имел двух сынов, одного от рабы, другого от свободы. Но который от рабы, тот рожден по плоти, а который от свободы, тот по обетованию. В этом есть иносказание. Это два завета. Один от горы Синайской,
рождающий в рабство, в которой есть Агарь. Ибо Агарь означает гору Синай в Аравии, соответствует нынешнему Иерусалиму, потому что он с детьми своими в рабстве. А Вышний Иерусалим свободен, он матерь всем нам. Ибо написано: «Возвеселись, неплодная, нерождающая, воскликни, возгласи, не мучившиеся родами, потому что у оставленных гораздо более детей, нежели бы имеющие мужа». Мы, братья, дети обетования по Исааку. Но как тогда рожденный по плоти гнал рожденного по духу, так и ныне. Что же говорит Писание? «Изгони рабу и сына ее, ибо сын рабы не будет наследником вместе с сыном свободный». Итак, братья, мы дети не рабы, но свободные.
So Paul uses an extended metaphor. He uses the Old Testament. And now if you asked a Jewish, one of these Judaizing Christians, the Jews, are they Esau or Isaac? They would say, the Jews, they're Isaac, obviously. He said, that's not true. The Jews are Esau. I'm sorry, Ishmael, sorry. Ishmael and Isaac, my apologies.
То есть они бы сказали, мы дети Исаака, естественно, да. Евреи, да?
Да, да, да.
The Jews say we're Isaac, not Ishmael.
Да, евреи, как народ говорит, что мы дети Исаака, не Ишмаила.
Paul says, no, the Jews are Ishmael.
Павел говорит, нет, вы не правы.
We are Isaac.
Евреи, они дети Ишмаила. Мы ученики Иисуса Христа, мы дети Исаака.
Because Isaac is the result of faith. Ishmael was the child of a slave. And therefore, he was a slave. How much faith does it take to make a Jew? None at all. You got mommy Jew, you got daddy Jew. You fill in the details. No faith at all. But you see, the Jews are slaves. Isn't that what Jesus said in John chapter 8? He says, but we are the children of Abraham. We're the true Israel. Paul says that in Romans 5 as well. He says Hagar stands for Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai in Arabia. Probably just Sinai.
Sinai.
And because she's in slavery. But Sarah represents the New Jerusalem. And her children are free. See, outside of Christ, we were Ishmael. We were slaves. And the law, it didn't help us at all. All it did was show us how ungodly we are. But Christ nailed the law to the cross. Right? That's Colossians 2. I used to think that that meant God nailed the Moses covenant to the cross. That's not what he meant. It means he nailed the obligation to the law. Now let's read verse 31. We're going to move on to the good news. Now it's been almost 20 minutes, but I'm going to go another 10 minutes because we need a little bit of good news, okay? So here's our transition verse. Verse 31, we already read it. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we're not children of the slave woman. We're children of the free woman. Now let's read Galatians 5, verse 1.
Итак, стойте в свободе, которую даровал нам Христос, и не подвергайтесь опять Его рабству.
This is a great passage. But again, Paul says something that's kind of strange. Remember he said, through the law, I died to the law? That's one of those things you have to really think about it. But when you get it, it's pretty good. Now here Paul says, the reason God set you free is so that you could be free. Well, that's strange. Isn't that kind of obvious? Sasha, could you do me a favor and stand up for a second? Okay. I think this is what he's saying. In Christ, you're free. You're really free. I'm not kidding. Thank you. Because we always want to go back to slavery. That's why Paul is being so strong here. Free from what? What's that?
Freedom from slavery to sin.
Right. Not freedom from slavery to sin. That's not what he's talking about. Through Christ, we're set free from sin. No question about it. But that's not what he's talking about here. We're free from obligation. Because obligation is slavery. See, here's how Christ wants it to be for us. He wants us to serve Him because we want to. Christ moved us from have to this is going to be hard to translate. From have to we get to? How about from I have to? To I want to. Why do you pray? I hope you pray because you want to pray. Why did you come to this conference? Hopefully not because you're obligated to. Because if we serve God under obligation, that's slavery. Let me tell you why I came to Kyrgyzstan. Because I want to. Because I love God. And Christ's love compels me. I love Galatians 5, 5 through 6. Let's read that before we take our next little break.
Галатам 5, 5, 6. А мы духом ожидаем и надеемся праведности от веры. Ибо во Христе Иисусе не имеет силы ни обрезания,
не обрезание, но вера, действующая любовью.
You know what he says?
Знаете, что он говорит?
The only thing that matters is faith being shown by love. Nothing else matters. As far as our salvation goes, nothing else matters. So what are you doing, not because you have to, but because you love God? Love is a much better motivation than you have to. That will sustain you with great energy. I remember in the old days, we had an accountability sheet. Some of you might remember. Did anybody remember that? Yeah. I can remember, I would pray for 20 more minutes so I could write it down on the piece of paper. That's not really freedom in Christ, not really. By the way, I think accountability is a good thing. But it should be under freedom, not under obligation. So, again, the reason I came here is because of love. The reason I commit myself to do crazy things, and I do some crazy things, is because of love. And when we give our heart, when we devote ourselves fully out of love, motivated out of grace, now that brings satisfaction. You know, Paul said, I became all things to all people. To the rich, I became like a rich person. That was probably more fun. To the poor person, I become like a poor person. To the Jew, I would even follow the Jewish laws. But for the Gentiles, I would throw them all away. He said, I make myself a slave. A voluntary slave. But that's getting to my next verse, and I'm supposed to take a break right now. So let me leave you with this thought. What are you doing just because you love God? Okay.
Круто, друзья. Что вы слышали? Это было важно, Паша.
Спасибо большое. Thank you very much.
Я поверил.
I believed.
А потом крестился.
And then I was baptized.
Это было определяющим в моей дальнейшей жизни во Христе. Спасибо большое.
Thank you.
Еще раз утвердил,
that you reminded me that faith is first, and then the fulfillment of the will of God. Thank you very much.
Sisters.
I have two things. Can I two things say? First, in the beginning, everything costs, nothing's free. We think, for what's for us, Jesus paid that price for us. That's the first thing that was great. Second thing, I need to kick Hagar out of my heart and replace her with Sarah, the freedom. I need to really kick her out of my heart.
Amen.
I had a new idea in Christ.
Что мы спасение,
Salvation is the closest connection to in Christ. I love that. That's really cool.
Ощущение спасенного человека.
I love the feeling of being a saved person.
Но мне надо помнить, что это значит, что я во Христе.
But I need to remember that it means I am in.
Тогда, если я хочу кому-то помочь спастись,
so if I want to help somebody to be saved, I need to help them
прийти во Христа. Christ,
to come to Christ.
Это мотивирует, на самом
That's
деле,
motivating, по-моему. Really motivating.
Здорово, еще, пожалуйста.
Мне очень сильно помогло.
It really helped me in my situation. To be righteous. So if all my good deeds don't help me be righteous, then I can't help anybody else. It's only if you understand that you're saved by grace in Christ, only then can you also pass that on and help someone correctly to come to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We can only pass on what we've lived through. When you have this feeling, I should, but I want to do something. When you want to do something for love, that's even more motivation. It's even more motivating. And even if you don't want to do the thing, but you do love, mm-hmm. then you're motivated to do it too.
Yeah.
Thank you. For me, what I understood, Jesus is looking for friends, not slaves.
That's right.
He wants a friendship relationship. You don't keep track of, well, you did this for me, I did that for you. We're not always holding each other accountable for how much we've done for each other. We're just friends. Two things really helped me. I hate religiousness. I just hate religiousness. It drives me crazy. But I understand that being a disciple, I can become very religious myself and not even notice it. Even how I give my heart to God, it's a real revelation how Jesus said to the church, it's great you do everything, you know, in Revelation, but you forgot your first love. And I think I've got to really cultivate my first love again and work on that. And secondly, it really encouraged me. We have different kind of times with God. Sometimes you feel great with God, sometimes you're really down with God. When you can't do what you used to do easily, because you're just not in that kind of a time of life. And I have great hope that God is faithful to me and merciful to me when I'm in a hard time. I just can't do right now what I used to do. It's not that I lose my salvation or I started to look worse in God's eyes or I've lost face. Thank you. And Nurlan. Thank you, bro. For me, for you, I hear the Spirit. I'm learning some convictions about freedom. In Christ, I'm free. That scripture that we need to stand in freedom. Mm-hmm. I can fall in formalism, legalism, all the cares of the day. It's so much nicer, so much more pleasant, so much happier to live in grace. It really steals joy to live by law.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
One more. I just really quickly say, huge thanks. I work in a Jewish family. And they are very arrogant. They believe very much they are the chosen people. And I've understood more. I have something to tell them now.
Careful.
Осторожно. Осторожно.
Full Galatians 4 out on them. Wow. Okay.
I mean.
the fact that a Jew has given birth to a Jew, that does not equal salvation. But they're not free. And that they're children of slavery. That might be your last day at work, the day that you say that. Yeah, you need to count the cost. Yeah.
Okay.
Are you going to continue?
Sure.
One more question. Right. I want to share because it really fills me up. It's overflowing out of my heart here. I want to thank you. From the beginning of my life in Christ, I've been sort of in the slavery mindset. It's my nature too. I'm really grateful that God, through baptism, has given freedom. I understood that in the moment of my baptism. It's so important not to slip back into that slavery. It's so easy, I see now, through the legalism of our Christian lives, we can slip back into that. We need to keep ourselves in freedom, understand that, and really strengthen ourselves in that. Thank you.
Okay, good. So we'll keep going. Da. Da. So let's read Galatians 5, 7 through 12. Paul's getting very emotional here. One thing I noticed in the sharing, we men, we need the sisters. Because I think the sisters are more in touch with what I'm talking about. Because this is an emotional thing. I noticed that. So let's read Galatians 5, 7 through 12.
7-12?
Yeah.
7-12. Вышли хорошо, кто остановил вас, чтобы вы не покорялись истине? Такое убеждение не от призывающего вас. Малая закваска заквашивает все тесто. Я уверен о вас, Господи, что вы не будете мыслить иначе. А смущающий вас, чтобы он его понесет на себе осуждение. За что же гонят меня, братья, если я и теперь проповедую обрезание? Тогда соблазн креста прекратился бы. О, если бы были удалены возмущающие вас.
So like I said, Paul's pretty upset here. He says, these people are trying to get you to go back to legalism. They want you to get circumcised. He says, they should cut off the whole thing. You know what he's talking about, right? That's pretty intense. But the reason Paul is upset is because he wants us to live by love. And really, our salvation is at stake. Now, hopefully, what Paul is saying here in Galatians 5, verse 7 through 12, I'm sure that does not apply to you. So what does God want us to do with our freedom? He answers that question in verses 13 through 15.
К свободе призваны вы, братья, только свобода бы ваша не была поводом к угождению плоти, но любовью служите друг другу.
So Paul says, you're free.
Вы свободны.
You do not have to
вам не надо
live anywhere in particular. You can live where you want.
Жить в определенном месте. Вы смогли жить где угодно.
You can give as much money to the work of the church as you want. You can have a really long, quiet time, or you can just not do it at all.
Долгий, длинный, время,
Because God wants you to live in love, not in slavery. But he says, just so you know, this is what God wants you to do with your slavery. With your freedom, excuse me. He wants you to serve. It's kind of interesting. It says, God set you free. So here's the way he wants you to do. To be a slave. A voluntary slave. To willingly offer yourself. To willingly give your heart. Remember Paul said, I became all things to all people. He didn't have to do that. If you read 1 Corinthians 9:23, he said, I became all things to all people. He says, then I share in the blessing. As like, you know, I come here, I'm tired, I'm probably going to get sick. I spend my own money. But who gets the most joy? Who gets the most reward? I do. That's just how it works. Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, you don't have to. I'm telling you, you don't have to. But you should. Wouldn't you want to share in the blessing? Think about it. Who does the world say is truly amazing? I mean, who does the world say is amazing? Mother Teresa, Nelson Mandela, Martin Luther King, Mahatma Gandhi. I think they'd put Jesus on the list also, probably. What do they all have in common? They gave up everything. They gave up their freedom. And they freed many people and they became great. And that's what God wants. Because the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Now, I wish I had time to do a study in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. But I really don't. But if you see, Paul says, hey, am I free? What's the answer? Yeah, you're free. He says, I have a lot of rights. I did plant the church here. I am an apostle. I have a right for you to respect me and obey me. And I'm preaching the gospel. I have a right to be paid. He had a right to have a regular career. To have a wife and a family. He gave them all up. He said, I gave up all my rights. And God made him great. And he used them to do amazing things. You know, giving ourselves to other people willingly. That's so much better than obligation. So again, I ask you the question. What are you doing for God just because you want to. Just because you love Him. Now, should you do the right thing even if you don't want to? Well, I guess so. Maybe, maybe not. I'm not so sure. Yeah, I think of the book of Malachi. It's so funny in Malachi. God says, I have always loved you. And they say, you have not been loving us at all. Because God always loved them. He said, Jacob I loved. Esau I hated. Now, he didn't actually hate Esau. But he blessed Jacob. But the problem was, the Jews, they had faith in God. But they weren't faithful to Him. God wanted to bless them, but they wouldn't let Him. Because they're only thinking what they could get. Now I get to my favorite part in Galatians. Let's read Galatians 5, 16 through 18.
Я говорю, поступайте по духу, и вы не будете исполнять вожделение плоти. Ибо плоть желает противного духу, а дух противного плоти. Они друг другу противятся. Так что вы не то делаете, что хотели бы. Если же вы духом водитесь, то вы не под законом. 16-18.
So what is the opposite of living by law?
Что является противоположностью от того, что жить по закону?
It's living by the Spirit. You know what? I'm still figuring it out. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't completely understand what it means to live by the Spirit. I'm starting to learn. I've been trying to live by the Spirit. I've been trying to walk by the Spirit. To be led by the Spirit. Now, we'll get back to that later in Galatians 5:25. But what does it say here? What does the flesh desire? Think about it. What does the flesh desire? Well, the flesh desires many things. But in the context of this verse, what the flesh desires is to live by obligation. That's what the flesh wants. The flesh wants to earn salvation. Every human-made religion is about obligation. Except Christianity. Because that's what the flesh desires. The flesh desires earning a relationship. In Christ, He just gives it to you. And the Spirit helps us to understand that. Again, I don't really know what it means to live by the Spirit, not exactly. I'll tell you what the Spirit wants, though. That you live in freedom. And you express your faith through love. I think that's pretty much all He had desires for you. That's how we glorify God. Now, which verses do we tend to read in Galatians 5? We tend to read verse 19 through 21, right? I'm going to skip those verses. Because he's just talking about the bad news. I'm going to continue on the good news to the end here. So let's read Galatians 5, verse 22 through 26.
Вот же духа любовь, радость, мир, долготерпение, благость, милосердие, вера, кротость, воздержание, но таковых нет закона. Но те, которые Христовы, распяли плоть со своими страстями и похотями. Если мы живем духом, то по духу и поступать должны. 25.
Yeah, through 26, actually.
Не будем тщеславиться, друг друга раздражать, друг другу завидовать.
So he says the fruit of the Spirit is all these things that we really like, right? What that means is the result of living by the Spirit, the result of walking by the Spirit, the result of living by the Holy Spirit and keeping in step with the Spirit is all these things that we all want. And that God wants us to have. We don't gain it by effort. We gain it by listening to the Holy Spirit. And again, I don't really know what that means exactly. But you know, I found as I become more sensitive to the Holy Spirit, he tells me to share my faith with that person. So I try to share my faith with that person. He tells me to stop talking and to listen, which I'm not very good at. So I try to stop and I try to listen. You know, I'm a scientist. I like everything to be logical and, you know, you can figure it out from an equation. But, formula, that's good. Yeah. I don't think it's the way it works. Jesus said the Holy Spirit is kind of like the wind. You don't know where it's coming from. You don't know where it's going. But you know when it works, you see the trees bending. Now, this might be a little bit confusing. The opposite of living by the law is living by the Spirit. And I'm not here to tell you exactly what it means. But I want you to start an adventure where you discover what that means, because the Holy Spirit wants you to know. So here's the outline for living by the Spirit. In Galatians 5:16, he says, you need to walk by the Spirit. In Galatians 5:18, he says, you should be led by the Spirit. In Galatians 5:25, he said, you should live by the Spirit. And in Galatians 25, he also says, you need to keep in step with the Spirit. So we could either be led by the law or led by the Spirit. So I think what God is saying to us here, all of us want to be righteous. I know you want to be righteous. Not only to be made righteous by God, but also to live righteously. In other words, you want to become what he has already made you. Like our brother was suggesting in his comments earlier. And there's two ways to achieve that. Effort or living by the Spirit. And by the way, you know what? If you're living by the Spirit, you're going to make effort. Right? We were wondering, if we have freedom, then maybe nobody will even work for the church anymore. That's the exact opposite. Because slavery doesn't compel anybody. But Christ's love compels us. Let us live in Christ's love. Let us live in freedom. Let us willingly make ourselves slaves of everybody. So we can save many in Kazakhstan and Kyrgyzstan and Turkmenistan and Uzbekistan and all those other stans. Thank you very much. Good job. Very good. Very good. Oh, we're still going. Okay.
Это просто классно, мне кажется, да? То есть это
окружение,
которое не сейчас с ним надо куда-то бежать, а это просто о том, какой Бог и каким Он хочет нас видеть. Пока сейчас ребята думают, значит, пока Джон выступал, вот, сегодня вечером у нас есть выручка час.
We have an hour.
Я не знаю, если вам интересно, мы можем, например, пригласить Джона, чтобы он сделал свой урок по 1 Коринфянам.
We could ask John to do a lesson on 1 Corinthians tonight for an hour, if you want. Who would like to come? Of course everyone's going to come.
Okay, 5 o'clock.
Welcome. But you're not obligated.
No, you're free.
You're free.
No, we need обязаны быть.
We need обязаны.
We need обязаны быть.
The same about you.
All right.
Same about you.
Okay.
Я говорю, он тоже ничего не обязан, но... Хорошо. Девочки, вопрос.
Да, у меня был вопрос. I have a question. Прости, я не полностью поняла то, что ты хотела сказать о книге Малахи. What was it you were trying to say about Malachi? I'm not sure I translated you that well right there.
Yeah, the theme of the book of Malachi...
Тема книги Малахи.
Is faith or faithful? Faith means you're relying on God. Faithful means you're loyal to God. There's a great Hebrew word. It's the word chesed. Which means... It's translated love, but it also means loyalty. Because being faithful, it's about a relationship. God takes care of His end, He loves us, and we take care of our part. We love Him and we serve Him. That's why He was so angry when they gave a sick animal in a sacrifice. They thought, well, I mean, if we're going to kill it anyway and burn it, logically, we give a sick animal. But see, that's not being faithful. And so, to me, that's the theme of Malachi. Do you have faith in God, in other words, that He's going to bless you? Or are you faithful to God? Which means willingly serving Him with all your heart.
Джон, такой практический вопрос.
I have a practical question.
Ты говорил, что свобода, она говорит, делать, если хочешь.
Do it if you want to.
Вопрос, I have a question. Делать,
what should you do if you don't want to?
Понимаю,
like I understand, we need to understand love of God, change our relationship, change my attitude. But this could take months, this could take years. what am I supposed to do in the meantime?
Maybe I need to more carefully define what I mean by want to. Because if you love somebody, you do for them things that you don't want to do. Why do you do things you don't want to do if you love someone? It's because, this is going to be confusing, you want to do things that you don't want to do. Love makes sacrifices. And if you only did things that pleased yourself, that's not, obviously not love. So hopefully we're doing the things we do because we love God. So do I want to spend, you know, do I want to spend hours and hours in an airport, you know, getting very uncomfortable, losing sleep? No, I don't want to do that. Obviously, I don't want to do that. But I do it out of love. But I haven't really answered your question, to be honest with you. I've kind of avoided your question a little bit. So what if we do it out of a bad heart? Should we do it anyway? I think that's kind of a hard question, actually. Because there's places in the Old Testament where God says, get these sacrifices out of here. Sometimes I ask, is it better to give a little tiny bit? Or nothing at all? I think sometimes it's better to give nothing at all than a little tiny bit. But honestly, I think it's complicated. Life is complicated. And you need to explain this carefully to people. Because we're obligated to love one another whether we want to or not. We're obligated to give to the work of God even when we don't feel like it. I want to take a comment from Andy in a second, okay? Let me make one more comment. It's Deuteronomy 30. It says, choose life. You know, there's... It can be confusing. Is it better to do the right thing and let our emotions come behind it? Or should we wait until our emotions are in the right place? And then do the right thing. I think God's answer is this. Make a choice. Choose life. So I made a choice when I put my hand to the plow. Put a, you know, like in Luke 14. Luke 9. Yeah. So I made a decision. And even if it's out of legalism, for all of us it is sometimes. I do it anyway. I think generally that's what we should do. But as leaders, let's help people come to a better place. Please, share.
I don't know, but I can speak in Russian.
Russian, sure.
But let me speak English.
All right. Well, she could translate.
You already answered a little bit of my question. I think there is an obligation for disciples of Jesus Christ. And you did say, it is to love. And that obligation should come from the heart. I see the problem in legalism the compulsion comes from
outside.
The obligation comes from actions, from works. There's a compulsion to do works, not to move the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes, and for example,
Romans 8:12. Romans 8:12. We have
an obligation.
We have an obligation. It's just written there clearly in Romans 8:12. We have an obligation.
No need to lie, we're holding that.
But not to the sinful nature, but to the Spirit. So we have an obligation to live by the Spirit. That's our obligation, like disciples. And I think it's hard to say we don't have any kind of obligations. Because I think the Bible doesn't actually say that. But it does say the compulsion, being compelled by the law, does not
compel. It's to be
obligated. Being obligated to the law doesn't bring us salvation.
Yeah. Right. Good.
I want to thank John for this great conclusion.
Но зачем тогда что-то делать, если можно ничего не делать?
So what are we going to do?
Люди, любящие халяву, они для себя видят в этом выход. Халява это как
что за халява?
Понимаешь, что халява? Халява это люди, которые любят все бесплатное.
It's like when people like everything just free. Give me everything free. Freeloaders.
И тогда ты дал такой прекрасный ответ, что а люди, которые ищут вот эту вот халяву даже в церкви, они
freeloaders
even
in the church.
We have those, yeah.
Награды Господа.
We're looking for rewards from God.
И это просто прекрасный мотив.
It's a great motivation, looking for rewards.
И это прекрасный повод отличаться от мира.
And it's a great reason to be different from the world.
Потому что люди в мире, они хотят получить
все. Because people in the world want to get everything. They want rewards for themselves and not give anything.
У меня есть вопросы от учеников.
I have questions from disciples.
Как Бог относится к взяткам?
How does God feel about взяткам? Bribes?
Bribery.
And what do you do if legal, our government, you know, our civil service, if they're demanding bribes from us in order to provide, it's an Asian question, in order to provide normal services, to take an exam. Our students are
The easy answer to that question is a Christian would never give a bribe under any circumstances. But I think there might be some subtleties there. I would prefer somebody from Central Asia to answer that question. Like I said, the obvious answer is you never give a bribe. But in my life, I've given a bribe at least twice. And I'm not sure if I was sinning or not, honestly. One situation in Ghana, I think it was. And I made a mistake in my visa. So the option was go home and not serve all those other churches or give the guy $50.
But he'll fix your mistake, right?
Yeah, he fixed the mistake. So I'll be honest with you, I paid the $50. And I honestly am not sure if I made the right choice there or not. So like I said, the obvious answer is no, you never pay a bribe. But I think you should let people who are in touch with the local customs give a more nuanced answer, and I'm not qualified. I'm not qualified to speak to your culture. So I think there are possible exceptions. Circumstantial evidence was. Circumstantial ethics, yeah.
Circumstantial ethics.
I think it's possibly stuck in a place with two bad choices. So I defer to local people.
Andy, у нас local people. Давай, Andy.
Как человек, который жил в этом мире, в разных местах, это хороший вопрос. It's a great question. Но я думаю, есть чуть-чуть другой вещь надо спросить. I think there's another question we need to ask. Если даст подарок кому-то, собирает что-то, он должно все равно. Are we talking about giving someone a gift or a motivation financially to do what they are supposed to do anyway? But to pay them to do something against the law. In other words, they would now be breaking a law themselves. And you are now participating in breaking a law. I would like to say to you, I have often paid a bribe on the table. Under the table, sorry. I've paid a bribe often under the table, but never. I always would say, I don't feel like it's right for you to ask this of me. But you have a right. Your pay should be enough for you. But if you are demanding this from me to do your job, your legal job, here's a present from me. Go and have dinner with your wife. But I see a principle. Bribes that people take, and they are now going to do something illegal because of this, against the law. Of course that's not right. That's never right. The Bible says, give to those who ask you,
And it also says a gift opens the way for a giver. So I think there is a principle. And that's how I've, for 30 years, I've looked at it. If a person is supposed to do something according to the law, maybe he's doing something illegal himself by asking for a bribe. But that's his responsibility. That's not my responsibility. He is guilty before the law. Be careful that we never ever participate in breaking the law. Anyway.
One more question.
Okay.
Это вопросы, которые ученики заранее прислали.
These are questions that people have sent
earlier. Что значит грех к смерти?
What does the sin that leads to death mean?
И что значит грех не к смерти? И почему нам не надо молиться за тех, кто
What does that verse mean, that you don't need to pray for sin that doesn't
Yeah, the sin that leads to death is described in great detail in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26-31. So let's read that verse.
Евреям 10:26-31. Так. Ибо если мы, получив познание истины, произвольно грешим, то не остается больше жертвы за грехи. Но некое страшное ожидание суда и ярость огня готовы пожрать противников. Если отвергшихся закону Моисеева при двух или трех свидетелях без милосердия наказывается смертью, то сколь тягчайшему думаете наказанию повинен будет тот, кто попирает Сына Божия и почитает и не почитает за святыню кровь завета, который очищен, освящен и Духа благодати оскорбляет. Тут
30-31.
Ага. Мы знаем того, кто сказал, у меня отмщение. Я вас дам, говорит Господь. И еще, Господь будет судить свой народ. Страшно впасть в руки Бога живого.
I believe the sin that leads to death for a Christian is the sin that causes the Holy Spirit to leave us. Because the Holy Spirit is a deposit. Guaranteeing our salvation. And according to this passage, to deliberately and willfully sin continually, at some point, you're trampling the Son of God underfoot, spitting on the blood of Jesus, and a key phrase here, insulting the Spirit. Now, has anybody here committed any willful sin since you became a Christian?
Было ли так, что кто-то из нас сознательно согрешил?
I have. Almost all of my sin is not willful sin, honestly.
Честно говоря, почти все мои грехи это не сознательно. То есть я не знаю это грех, и все равно я собираюсь это делать. Да? Обычно это не так.
Most of the sin I commit, I was not intending to do that, but it happened anyway.
Чаще всего я не хотел согрешить, но вот
And that sin is sinful. It's dangerous and we need to repent. But let me define willful sin. Let's say you're a parent. And your child is sitting in the high chair. And they knock their food on the floor. And you pick it up. And then they do it again. And you pick it up. And you look them in the eye. Don't do that again. Here's what your child does. They look you right in the eye. And they knock it on the floor. All kids do that, right? And I believe that we do that.
Я верю, что мы делаем это.
I believe a Christian with a good heart very rarely willfully sins.
Я верю, что христианин, у кого доброе сердце, редко это делает.
But if you type in the address to a pornographic website,
но если ты на компьютере и ты там начинаешь только начало идти туда, куда где есть порнография,
that's willful sin.
Это сознательный грех.
That kind of sin is very, very dangerous.
Это очень опасно.
Now, I believe God is almost infinitely patient. God is amazingly patient. We would have given up on us before God would give up on us. But there comes a point where the Holy Spirit says, no. I'm not living in this dwelling anymore. That is blaspheming the Spirit. That is the unforgivable sin. And if that happens, Hebrews 6:4, there's no coming back. You don't get baptized again. Now the confusing thing is in Galatians. He says, for those people, don't try to help them. But how do you know? I mean, how do I know if somebody has committed that unforgivable sin? The answer is, honestly, we don't really know. Only God knows. But I think God wants us to use judgment. He wants us to use some caution. Not to judge that person, but there are some people so caught up in willful sin probably just leave them alone. Well, how do you know if somebody committed this unforgivable sin? In Hebrews 6 it says, if this happens, it's impossible for them to repent. So if they come back and say, I'm ready to repent, oh, apparently you didn't commit the unforgivable sin.
God won't let them repent. Is that what
right,
you're saying?
Yeah. Okay.
Друзья, ну у нас просто крутое духовное общение yeah. было сегодня, yeah. да?
We had a great
Давай
spiritual fellowship today. Thank you for John.
По планам, если пойти, тут появилась идея, Наташа Перинская, где
Сестра
хочет предложить воскресенье после службы. Желающие поехать в экскурсию. Здесь есть красивое ущелье.